All right, great. So this is picking up where we left off last time. We were in the middle of talking about truth tables with ands, ors, nots, truths, and falses. And I made the claim that once you have or, and not, any other logical expressions that you want to build on any number of inputs and any number of outputs, you can always build them out of these. There's no other sort of magical truth gate that you need to know about. The because I told you so gate or something like that. There's nothing else. It's true, sorry, and or not should be enough. And so, I gave one small example of how that works. And Hillis talks a little bit about this as well, but we're not going to go through that process of showing that this is actually completely general. But I do want to get at this question. How many distinct logic functions on 2 bits? So we did talk about that last time. We've got 2 bits. The truth table has 2 × 2 or 4 rows. Each of those rows can either be true or false. And so you have 2 raised to the 4th power, 16 different possible distinct functions on 2 Boolean inputs going to 1 Boolean output. And I wrote all these 16 tables up to show you, and we looked at a couple of them and said, oh, this is the one that ignores the second input and just looks at the first input, that sort of thing. And we talked about bit equality, and I think I actually drew this on the board. We hadn't gotten to it in the notes yet. You can also have a notion of group equality. So I feel like I want to skip around a little bit. Let me skip, pretend you didn't see that, because that was exciting. I wanted to show you this. Right, okay, so I just talked through, if you've got 2 inputs and 1 output, there's 2 to the 2 or 4 rows, each one can take on distinct values, so you get 16 different tables. The general form of this is if you've got n inputs, n wires coming in and 1 wire going out, each of those can be on or off, the truth table will have size 2 raised to the nth power, and the number of different ways of filling in those rows of the truth table gives you 2 raised to the 2 to the n. Now, this is really easy to write, and it's really small, and if you don't think much about exponential growth, this probably doesn't stun you, because it's just 2 twos and an n. But just to get your head around this a little bit, I made this little table. So for different values of n, so here's the first question. If you've got no inputs, right? So you've got a Boolean function, it doesn't get to see any input, and it's going to output 1 bit. How many different bits can it output? There are only 2, it could output either of them, right? So you can have a box that either always is true or always is false. It has no input, so there's not much that it can do. And in fact, 2 to the 2 to the n, 2 to the n where n is 0 is 1. 2 to anything to the 0 is 1. And so we have 2 to the 1, which is 2, and so that's the total different number of possible logical functions on no inputs. If you've got 1 input, you can either be, ignore the input, always output true. Ignore the input, always output false. Copy the input to the output, or negate the input to the output. That's a not gate. That should give us 4 different combinations. And again, 2 to the 2 to the 1 in this case is 4. All right, 2 to the 2 to the 2, we talked about, that's 16. Now let's see what starts to happen. Now we've got 3 inputs. So 3 inputs means that the number of different possible inputs that it would ever see is 2 × 2 × 2, or 8. The truth table therefore has 8 rows. Each of those 8 rows can have either a true or a false in it. The number of ways of combining those all together should be 2 to the 8th, or 256. That's still not horrible to imagine. You could, if you had nothing else to do for an hour, you could write a function that had 256 rows in it. 4 inputs, we're up to 65,536. 5 inputs, now we're up to something that it's hard to name without putting commas in, right? 4.3 billion different functions. Now, this is not how people create computers, right? They don't write down all 4 billion different possibilities. They express them more succinctly than that, but it's still remarkable to think about that. If you've got 6, on the other hand, you have a number that looks like this. It didn't fit in the box. And if you have 7, it didn't even fit on 1 row. So it's amazing how fast these kinds of functions grow. So I just thought it was just interesting to think about. Now, computers tend to have a lot more than, say, 7 different wires coming into them. There's just lots and lots and lots. And so they don't specify the behavior of computers by truth tables. That wouldn't work. The truth tables themselves would be too big to write down, and people would still be working on them for the very smallest computers of size 5-bit inputs. All right, so the way that they actually specify them is the way that we've been specifying them, by looking for structure and decomposing the function into smaller functions that we understand. So this idea, once again, this idea of reduction. So let me introduce a fairly important operation that's really easy to think about and imagine. We want to build a circuit that has 10 wires going in. They're in two groups of 5 wires, 5 bits, 5 bits, and 1 bit output. And the output is yes if the pattern of bits, the first 5 bits exactly match the second 5 bits. So if the first 5 bits are 00110, then the second set needs to be 00110 to output a 1 or true. Otherwise it outputs false. It's just saying, are the two patterns the same, yes or no? Okay? Now we, on the board last time, I talked about how you do that if you just had, you're just trying to match 1 bit against 1 bit. If they're both true. If they're both false. Otherwise output, sorry. If they're both true, output true. If they're both false, output true. Otherwise output false. Are they the same? The value's the same. So we can express the notion of whether a group of 5 bits are equal to one another by breaking it down into smaller patterns. Let's say, for example, well, make sure that, first of all, the first 2 bits have to match. Then the second 2 bits have to match, and the third 2 bits have to match, and the fourth 2 bits have to match, and the fifth 2 bits have to match, and all these things need to be true simultaneously, so we AND them all together. Okay? And that's all it takes. That's all it takes to just check that, oh, this is only going to output true if the patterns exactly match. Otherwise it outputs false. So here's how we actually can think about this by looking at two levels. You can say, here's what's really going on. We take the 5 bits from the first group, and we fan them out. So the zeroth bit goes to this box, the bit one goes to this box, bit two goes to this box, and so forth. All right? We do the same thing with the second group of bits. We send the zeroth bit to this one, first to this one, second, third, fourth. And now this box is a diagram that we've already looked at that says, let's just check to make sure those 2 bits are exactly the same. Either they're both true or they're both false. And it'll then output either true or false, depending on whether they match or not. All these boxes are simultaneously doing the same thing. This box is checking that the first 2 bits match, this is checking that the second 2 bits match, third 2 bits, fourth 2 bits, fifth 2 bits. So each of them is independently making that decision. But the answer should only be true if all of them agree that there's a match. So we put it through an AND5, right? An AND gate that takes 5 inputs and outputs true only if all the inputs are true. Okay? It's just like AND that we've been talking about, extended out to 5 inputs instead of 2. All right. So this is a good way to think about this, but we're not quite done yet, because we need to actually turn this into ANDs and ORs and NOTs. But it turns out that's not hard to do. For example, each of these equal boxes is its own little tiny little circuit that takes, well, we talked about this last time, it's basically just comparing the first 2 bits, comparing the bits to see if they're both true, comparing the bits to see if they're both false, and if either of those cases, they're both true or they're both false, we output true. So that's what the wiring diagram looks like for equals. And I didn't have to reinvent that 5 times. I just copied it. Right? And so that answers that one question. Then how do I do the AND5?
Well, we talked about this last time as well. We just do that by cascading a bunch of ANDs together.
Right? This one checks to see that the first 2 are happy. This one makes sure that the second 2 are happy. This one makes sure that the second 2 are happy and the last one's happy. And this one makes sure that everybody's happy. All right? Is that? I know there's different levels that you could try to understand this, and you might be asking yourself, I get this sort of, but I don't know if it's the sort of enough that he's looking for. So if you want to ask a question, I can say, that's okay, that's deeper than I need you to understand. Or I can say, no, I would actually like you to understand that. Or you just understand, okay, I can live with that. So here's a question that I'd like to ask at this point. How many AND gates, OR gates, and NOT gates do we need to actually put onto the circuit board in order to create this circuit that determines whether two groups of 5 bits are the same?
Well, we just count them up.
This little circuit that we created takes 10 inputs, 2 groups of 5, has 1 output, and at the top level, this gate consists of 1 AND5 gate and 5 equal gates, single bit equal gates. Each of those consists of 2 ANDs, 2 NOTs, and 1 OR. So each of these 5 equal gates has 5 ANDs, ORs, and NOTs in them. So that means that we've got a total of 25 gates, right? Each of these 5 has 5 primitive
gates on it. And this is just one N5 gate, which consists of four ands. So if you sum all this up together, you get a total of 29 gates for this function. But I didn't have to make up all 29 of them individually. I could look at it in this two-stage process, right? First figure out, I just need to know how to test if two bits are equal. And then I just reuse that over and over again. So we should be able to generalize this idea to much, what if we've got 16 bits and we want to compare it to a different set of 16 bits? Now we've got 32 bits of input, one bit of output, but it still should be very, very simple to work out the total number of gates that it would take to do that, because the structure is just repeated over and over again. All right, so in fact, we could generalize a bunch of the gates that we talked about last time and this time. There's we talked about AND 3, I think, AND 5. You could have AND with any number of, say, K inputs. You could have OR with any number of inputs. I very briefly talked about if then else, you could extend that to any number of bits. Equal K, I just talked about. Also, notion of universal K. Here the idea is you basically take as input a 2 to the K size truth table, and then you have K more bits that specify what the K inputs are to that truth table, and then it just outputs the proper bit. It's not hard to build this. It's all stuff that we've seen on the slides. So why this particular set am I showing you? It turns out this is pretty much all I need to now build a computer. And I'm going to do that, I think, two lectures from now. I will get to actually how I wire up each of these different chunks in just the right way so that the computer is actually interpreting the bits as programs and deciding what the next value of the memory is going to be. So I will talk about that. But I wanted to at least have these all kind of out on the table so that the next time they show up, you're not like, I have no idea what you're talking about. It could be, oh, you're talking about that thing that I didn't understand that you said a couple days ago. I'm happier with that. Or maybe you do understand it. You've just gone quiet on it, so it's always very difficult to tell. Right? Sometimes when computers stop responding to you, so you think, okay, either it's busy doing what I told it to do, or it's dead. Okay. I got this out of order, sorry about that. All right, so good. All right, so that kind of wraps up lecture 3. The high-level story, in case you kind of lost it in the details, was just the idea that we can start building, just out of ands, ors, and nots, we can start building up higher-level circuits that do more complicated things that we can specify in words, and then reuse those components to build even more complicated devices later on. I'm not going to ask you to build a computer, just so you know, but I'm going to show you a computer and I want you to feel like, oh, that's all made out of pieces that I could understand. All right, so that's the end of this lecture. For the beginning of the next lecture, Monica, would you mind closing the door? And actually, if someone could get that door too, I'm a little embarrassed. All right, so here's the deal. So I'm gonna lecture about the binary number system. This is another thing you can do with bits. All the stuff that I talked about up to this point in detail was all about thinking about each bit as being a truth value. Either something is true or it's not true. You can also think about bits as numbers, zeros and ones. And you can think about how to build even bigger numbers out of patterns of those smaller numbers. And so some of you may know this at some level. The sense that I got last year when I taught this was one of the things that people found pretty interesting, because people talk about the binary number system a lot, but nobody really bothers to explain it. So I'd kind of like to step through how to interpret a binary number, how to go back and forth between decimal numbers that we're more familiar with and binary that computers are more familiar with, and how to do some simple things like adding binary numbers. Maybe we'll do multiplying depending on how fast things go. So what I did is, as I was thinking about how I wanted to present this, and a crazy idea popped into my head, which is, I know, I'll make a song. And sometimes when a crazy idea gets a hold of you, you're really kind of no longer calling the shots. And so this crazy idea kind of played its way out until about late last night when I finished editing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you my song. It's inspired by Schoolhouse Rock. If people are familiar with Schoolhouse Rock, they had a series of 3-minute animated shorts to illustrate different concepts like how do you multiply by 6. I thought this is a perfect medium for trying to explain the binary number system. All right, so here's what you need to know going into this. These are questions that people ask me. The musical background is a MIDI file that I found on the web. So the music itself was written by the Beatles. So I'm claiming no credit for that. All the words making it about binary, that was me. The singing, that also is me. There's another voice that you hear on the tape, or sorry, on the recording. My son and my daughter both gave their vocal characterizations to me. And all the animations, the drawings, and so forth, that was also me. So without any further ado, we're going to give this a shot. Ready for this? Okay. The sound effects I put in as well.
Down in the Rhine, let's spend some time with an octopus who's counting up to one.
One.
In place of a dog, but he has fun. He's an octopus who's counting up to one.
Modulo the fact that I stole the Beatles tune. I don't know exactly how that works. Okay, so good. So, any questions about that? Okay. Very good. So back to the lecture. All right, so what I'd like to do, you may have gotten some of that, you may not have gotten all that. There was this long extended period at the end where the octopus is actually counting up from one, 1, 2, 3, 4, like that. I want you to understand how to do that, how to increment a binary number. When you have a pattern of zeros and ones and you add one to it, what happens? So to get this idea across, it turns out that it's very analogous. It's actually much simpler than what we already know how to do when we're adding one to numbers in decimals. So how do we count? So say we have a number like 24,998. We start at the bottom digit. If it's less than one, we just add one to it and we're done. We've now added one. On the other hand, if it's equal to 9, we make it a 0 and then we proceed to the left with the same process, incrementing it, or if it's a 9, turning it to a 0 and moving one up and incrementing it, and so forth. Eventually, we hit a number that's less than 9, we increment that, and then we're done. We've actually added one.
So just to illustrate that, so we add one to this, we get 9 in the last position. We add one to this one, we turn the 9 to a 0, we go up one, we turn that 9 to a 0, turn the next 9 to a 0, turn the next one to a 5, and we've added one. That's now 25,000. We're going to do the same thing with binary numbers. Oh, and we add one more. With binary numbers. So now, if you think about like an odometer on a car, it's actually, if you've ever destroyed one by accident, it's a circle, right? It's a disc. And the numbers 0 to 9 are printed around the disc. And so what's really happening, actually probably a lot of people have electronic odometers now, but if you've ever seen a mechanical one, back in the day when we had mechanical ones, actually what's happening is it's rotating to show you the next number, and then when it gets all the way around, it gets back to 0 and the next one increments. Okay? In binary, these are not wheels anymore, they're like flip cards, right? There's 0 on one side and 1 on the other. And so when we go to add to a number like this, we start at the back. If it's a 0, we turn it to a 1. So that's easy. So 1 plus this binary number is that binary number. All right. On the other hand now, if we want to add 1 to this number, we notice that the bottom digit is already full. Like, we'd like to make it a 2, but there is no 2 in binary. We just got 1s and 0s. So we're going to turn this to a 0 and increment the 1 up from it in order to show that we've added 1. So that turns to a 0. The one above it turns to a 1. And then we're done. Okay, this one's easy again. We just turned that last 0 into a 1. Now, we have there's going to be a whole cascade, right? This happens a lot more often in binary than it does in decimal. And we get a number like that. Adding 1 to this is easy, and so forth. All right, so is that process making sense to people? Any questions about that? What if we wanted to add 1 now? We get, do it in your head, and then I'm going to go left to right. We get 1, 0, no. Okay, we'll do this in 2 steps. All right, if we add 1 to this number, this is going to flip to a 0, the one above it is going to turn to a 1, and then we're done. As soon as we flip a 0 to a 1, that finishes this process. Just like in decimal, as we go up, we turn the 9s to 0s until we run out of 9s, and we just increment it and we're done. So the number that we get, 1 plus this, is going to be 10010. Okay? So that's how we're keeping count in binary. All right, what's the reason that this works and what the numbers that we actually get out by doing this, there's a pattern to it. Let me write the numbers, the first couple numbers out. So 0 looks like that, 1 looks like that. So far it's easy, right? When we increment this, this 1 turns to a 0 and the implicit 0 ahead of it turns to a 1. So this is 0. Put them on this side. This is 0, this is 1, this is 2. Adding 1 to this, we add 1 to the last digit, we get 3. Adding 1 to this, this 1 becomes a 0, this 1 becomes a 0, and then the 0 here becomes a 1. That gives us a 4. 5 is going to be like this. Add 1 to this one, we get put a 0 there, put a 1 there, and this is still a 1. That gives us a 6. 7 is going to be like that. And then 8, again, we're going to roll up. Like so. Now, the pattern that you start to notice when you do this over and over again is that we keep getting a new digit out front every time we hit the next double, every time we hit the next power of 2. Okay, right? So 1, 2, and then we fill in the bottom bits, and then we increment out to the next digit at 4, and then 8. And so what's really happening here is the leftmost bit, sorry, the rightmost bit, the bit on this side, the least significant bit, is worth a value of 1. The next one up is worth a value of 2, right? You notice that we get it when we hit 2. That's the first time we get this bit. 3 is a 2 plus a 1. 4 doesn't have any 2s in it. It's just 4 by itself. But 6 does. 6 is a 4 and a 2. So the next bit up is worth 4. The one above that, 8, 16, 32, 64, 128. So each of those first 8 bit values have exactly
these number values, if you think about it in decimal. All right? So this number, for example, has in it 1, 128, 1, 64, no 32s, no 16s, 1, 8, no 4s, no 2s, and 1, 1. And so 1 plus 8 plus 64 plus 128 is 201. So this pattern, 1, 0, sorry, 1, 1, 0, 0, 1, 0, 0, 1, is a binary representation of the number that we think of in decimal as 201. Okay? And you can just keep extending this because the place values follow a very simple pattern. This is 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2, 2 to the 3, 2 to the 4, 2 to the 6, 2 to the 7, 2 to the 7, 2 to the 8, and so forth. And if you've got, say, you ever hear expressions like a 32-bit computer, that means they can represent, they work, the computer at a circuit level can actually work with patterns of 32 bits at a time. That gives us a number that has, at its top place value, 2 to the 31, which is a very large number. I actually don't know what that number is. I know that if you go out to 64-bit, then we're talking about 18 billion billion, right? So you can count it very, very high with that number of bits. With this number of bits, as I said in the movie, you can get up to 255. Okay, so it should be really easy if I give you a bit pattern to turn it into a decimal number, right? You just have to add up the appropriate positions. In fact, maybe we should do that. Let's do that. I'll give you a pattern. Okay, so that's a binary pattern. Work out what it is in decimal. I'm going to do the same. Here are your choices. Okay. I'm hoping your answer's on the list. Mine is, but maybe I should double check it. Yeah, I'm happy. All right, so key in on your clicker what number you think that is. This gives me a way to sanity check, because if I'm beating a dead horse and everybody's getting this already, then I can move on. Otherwise, I feel like I'm going to keep explaining it. You guys don't seem willing to ask me questions, so this is a way of finding out. More uncertainty. I should put E like none of the above, none of the above. Alright, I'm gonna halt. So if you have a number that's not on this list, can you tell me what it is? I'm doing this on the fly, so it's not impossible that I goofed. Yeah? What would?
No, I was just gonna say I guess. I really don't get it.
You guessed, you didn't get it yet. Okay, all right, good. So when I explain this, the answer to this, maybe it'll become clear. Yeah?
I don't know, I got maybe 179.
Okay, in the back. Oh, we got multiple 179s. Okay?
That 91.
91 is on the list.
Yeah, that.
Oh, good. Okay. well, let's see. The ones that are on the list, we can. Oh, darn it. I can check. Yes, it looks like almost a random distribution. All right, good. I'm learning about you guys, right? So my gut feeling was they're very quiet. They're probably not understanding.
I don't understand anything.
And I was right. You don't never.
No, I'm not kidding.
Okay.
Like I listen and I try, but like I don't really understand it.
All right. Well, let's. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to explain this example, and then we're going to try it again. Everyone's going to get it right.
Right.
I'm not gonna be happy until you get
every
this.
Every time like you explain something, I just like don't know what's going on. And I feel like I should have like I don't know. There's just like so many like little parentheses and all these things. I don't know what it is.
Oh, wait, you mean like the logical expressions? Those things.
Or
you mean when I speak? Because I do sometimes go off on small.
It's
small
the
math.
Math. I just don't get it.
All right. Well, let's we're gonna take. Okay, good. I'm happy to take as long as necessary to get this across because it's elegant, it's interesting, and it's not that hard. But you have to know what the steps are. Yeah.
All right. That first digit one, right, all the way to the left, right?
This one, yes.
Doesn't that represent 128?
Yes. If there were eight numbers on this board right now.
Oh, so you're.
Right. So yeah, and I didn't do that on purpose. But the fact of the matter is that it wasn't meant to be a trick. We should be able to step through this. So you got to go from right to left. Just like if I give you a number like a decimal number, like 179, just to choose a number that happens to already be on the board. This one means what?
One.
By itself it means one, but in this place, in this number, it stands for a bigger number than one.
100.
It's 100, right? It's in the hundreds place. So in binary, we have places too. They're just not 1, 10, 100, 1,000. They are 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. So this bit right here is in the ones place. It's worth 1. This bit is in the twos place. It's worth 2. This bit is in the fours place. It's 0. It's not adding anything to what we've got. So this is a 1, a 2, a 4, an 8, 16, 32. And the top bit on this number is why this pattern of numbers? Is that
Where do you get 2 from 1 and 4 from 0?
Where do you get 2 from 1 and 4 from... Oh, so this is the...
I don't get it.
All right.
I think I learned this before if I meant that.
Okay. It should look from... So often in... At least when I was in 5th grade and stuff, they did base 5, which turns out to be completely useless. This is actually much simpler than base 5.
You just double it?
Each place value is worth twice the one next to it. In decimal, each place value is worth 10 times. Right? Decimal... Deci means 10. Decimal is base 10, right? Binary, bi means 2, as in, you know, bi. This means base 2. Right? You know why bi is bi, right? Bi, it's more than one, okay. Good, see, I'm gonna speak in whatever language is necessary to get this across. All right, so decimal is base 10. There's 10 different digits, and each place value is worth 10 times the previous one. Binary, there's two different digits, 0 and 1. Each place value is worth 2 times the one preceding it. It's actually, it's patterned, right? It's not arbitrary at all. The question there, and then we'll come here. Seth.
I'm stuck in the rightmost place and call that position 0, and each position to the left of it is 2 for the whatever position.
That's correct. That's right. This is 2 to the 0, 2 to the 1, 2 to the 2. In decimal, it's 10 to the 0, 10 to the 1, 10 to the 2, 10 to the 3.
Pretty much to get the value, you would add the number, like the numbers that are ones, we would add those numbers on top together and get 91.
Right. So if you think of this number, 179, just think of it as a pattern of symbols. What it really is saying is 1 times 10 squared. Sorry, that's not 10. 1 times 10 squared. 7 is 7 times 10 to the first. And the 9 is 9 times 10 to the 0. This is really what? This is 179. Decimal numbers are not arbitrary. It's not like, hey, we'll make up something, we'll call it 13, and it'll be worth this much, right? You can break it down into it's 110 and 3 ones. So same thing over here. In fact, I'll even write it to make it look more like this. We've got 1 times 10, 2 to the 0. 1 times 2 to the 1, 0 times 2 to the 2, 1 times 2 to the 3, 1 times 2 to the 4, 0 times 2 to the 5, and 1 times 2 to the 6. Okay? So what is this? This is 2, 4, 8,
16, and 64. You add these guys up. Right, this is where I break down, right? The arithmetic on the board. 14, 24, that's not right. What did I do wrong? Oh, sorry, this is 1. And this is 2. That's better. Okay, 10, 11.
Do you need a calculator for this class?
No, this we should be able to do this.
Yeah, I know that, but like, does it get harder from here?
No.
Okay.
Because it's not really about the math, it's about using this to do other stuff. So this, okay, 11 plus 6 is 17, plus 4 is 21. Compare it to 2, 3, and 6 is 9. So I get 91. And I keep getting the same answer over and over again. So I'm going to call that the right answer. All right? So.
Could you do me one here?
Shoot.
Just to finish pulling out numbers the way you were doing before with the arrows.
Okay, all right.
That.
So,
sure.
I just want this to be dark for a moment. Alright, so here's the, once again, here's the number, 1, 0, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1. This one is worth 1, this one is worth 2, this 0 would have been worth 4, but it's a 0, so it's worth squat. This one's worth 8, this one's worth 16, this one would have been worth 32, but it's 0, so it doesn't count. This is 64. Okay. There are different ways of learning. All right. So we're back to you. All right. So
why
what can
on
I do?
That 179 over there?
Uh-huh.
Why did you do 1 times 10 to the second to the fourth and 10 to the nothing?
So this is I'm trying to remind you of something that you already knew but forgot to think about recently. So this is just the normal number 179 that you're already familiar with.
Yeah.
You may have used it in the past. And I just want to say that the way to break this down and understand it is to say this is 1 in the hundreds place, 7 in the tens place, and 9 in the ones place.
Yeah.
That's what this is saying. 9 in the ones place, 10 to the 0 is 1.
Oh.
7 in the tens place, 10 to the 1 is 10. 1 in the hundreds place, 10 squared is 100.
Okay.
Right? So you can think of it as 1, 10, 100, 1,000, but it turns out there's actually a deeper pattern. It's always 10 to the however far over you are from the right. Okay, that's on hand? Yes.
Okay, so.
Alright, we're getting there. I have to click.
I don't like those 1 and 0 numbers, they can only be 1 and 0.
Yeah, it's so convenient.
So, how do you turn 179 into one of those 1?
I haven't gotten to that yet.
We have to make those.
I thought this would be the easy direction, and the other direction will be easier once we get there. But right, we need to be able to go both ways, right? We need to be able to take a pattern and say, oh, I know what this number is. And we need to have a number in mind and say, I know how to write that in binary. Go ahead.
So like when it comes to binary, it's always going to be 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32.
Always,
right.
always.
That's not going to change.
That's not going to change.
Unless it's decimal.
In decimal, right. In our normal number system, base 10, it's 1, 10, 100,000. In hexadecimal, it's 1, 16, 2, 3, 6. But this is binary. And binary, it's just so, I don't want to say it's so easy, because I'm not saying that you guys aren't getting this. You're going to get this, because once it all falls into place, it'll seem easy.
Can we do one more example?
Yes, I would like to do another example, but I wanted to make sure that I'd beaten this one into a hole. Are we done with this example? Anyone? Okay, all right. Let's. So would you mind giving me a pattern of bits? Try to step through the steps, and then I will do it as well.
Those Boolean things.
Bouillon is something in soup, I think.
Oh, okay.
Boolean
bean? Yeah.
Trues and falses?
I don't get any of that.
The ends and ors and nots?
I know the ends and ors and nots.
That's all.
The other nonsense. It's crazy.
The other nonsense with the parentheses. We don't like the parentheses.
No, but I don't mind them. But like the poor guy, little nuts. And all these like true things. I have no idea. Just letting you know.
Okay.
I don't know if they're from
that. I don't know either. So all at the moment, if you would like to know more about them, we can set up an office hour or something like that. Because
okay.
I can step it through. Because it's really just, you just have to click it and then it's there.
I'm not as impressive.
Then we're good. We'll be good. If not yet. All right. So.
Zeros, they're just zeros. I mean, it's easy to do like 0000001.
So 0001.
That
would be 1. In fact, I would tend to write it like that. The leading zeros, just like in our regular number systems. I could write, I don't know, what's enough, like 42 is a nice number. I could write it like this. But you look at me like I was nuts, right? Leading zeros, it just means there are 0 hundreds and 0 thousands and 0 10,000. But you knew that. Yeah, that a stretch or a, right, a
box.
Shoot.
What if the numbers go past 64?
It can go on forever, just like, you know, billions and billions. It's just each place value is worth twice the previous one.
Okay. Are you going to do that for the exam, though? Are you going to go past 64?
No. Because once you, I mean, I don't even know 2 to the 64. I can name 2 up to 16. 2 to the 16 is 65,536. And after that, I have nothing. And so that was just, and I only know that because I've seen it too many times.
All right, this is easy.
That's why they're like, typically, how far will we go? 128?
Not more than 8 bits. Do you remember what we called 8 bits? 8 bits is a byte. Bytes are good. If you got bytes, you can do more, it's just tedious. I just want to make sure you get the idea. I want to do this example. Is that where you're going?
Yeah, I mean, is that 25?
I don't know. Let me think it through out loud. We've got a 1 in the 1's place. We've got nothing in the 2 or 4's place. We've got 1 in the 8's place. And 1 in the 16's place. So I look at that and I think, okay, 16 plus 8, that's 24, plus 1 more is 25. So I'm going to say yes. Did anybody get anything else other than that?
Wow.
I don't know what that noise was. Was it a cat? It was my. Were you imitating my son's octopus voice?
No.
All right.
How old is your son?
He is 12. His voice has just changed, and so he. So that was all done in a just
more like
a false high voice. Yeah, it's just and the fish, the clapping fish in the background, we all recorded in our regular voices, and then the garage band let me just kick it up an octave, and so it became. I learned about a bunch of programs I didn't already know about. Okay, so I'm going to now do another one. So this was anyone not get 25? Maybe that would be unkind of me to ask it that way, and I don't mean to single anyone out. Can anyone make an argument for any other answer? We're good with 25. All right, so here's what I'd like to do. I want to do another click through, and I bet we're going to get a lot more answers that jive with each other. All right, so
now, what about when it starts to be a grid?
Say again?
I don't know. I'm looking at thinkgeek.com and a binary clock, and they have vertical, like, weird. Here, check this out.
So the light's on. Oh, it's probably, the first thing might be AM, PM, the second thing might be the hour, the next one might be the first digit of the minute. We ran out of juice. Glad I got to see that. Okay, all right, here's a number. I'm thinking of a number between 0 and 1. No.
Oh.
All right.
All right, click on an answer. You can't quite see the clicker feedback, but thank you. Yeah, basically, because I know whose clickers are whose, if you, as soon as you answer a single question, I know you're here.
Oh. We did that question wrong. Did we lose points?
You don't lose points, you get less credit than if you had answered it right. But if you don't answer at all, then you get the least amount.
Oh.
Rather you do answer than not answer. It's different from the SATs, because I'm using it in a very different way. All right, oh good, oh. 29?
Wait, hold on. I'm
not done. And there's more? 30. 30. Did we get clickers from space this time? That's amazing. I guess people are much more confident in the answer. Did you got it? Are we done? Am I holding out for anybody? I'm stopping. All right. Hey, you guys are so clever. All right. So, yes, the answer was. 100 under E.
Oh, I said E.
E, yes, the answer is E. Thank you. Yeah, that's good. yeah, the answer was 100. This is 200 is twice that, and then I just was goofing off after that. So, yeah, so this is 1, 2, this is 4 plus 64. No, sorry. 1, 2, 4 plus 8, 16, 32 plus 64. This is the example that the octopus used in the video. Okay, all right, so that's a lot more people than before. We still have somebody who you get, 200 is the answer that you get if you think that there are 8 bits here and you start from the left and you call this 128. Basically, in base, how do you multiply by 10 in decimal? You take the number that you've got, and what do? Yeah, go ahead, say that out loud.
I'm saying you move decimals to the right.
Yeah, you stick a zero at the end, or you shift the whole thing over and stick a zero at the end. What do you think happens in binary if you do that? If we put another zero at the end of this, it takes the answer and it doubles it. It shifts everything over so it's worth twice as much as it was before. Just like in decimal, you stick a zero at the end, you get 10 times as much. In binary, you stick a zero at the end, you get twice as much. And so this is the answer you get if you thought there was another zero at the end. And that was the one that faked out people the most. Some people thought it was 3. That's hard to imagine. I mean, there's 3 ones in it. I didn't think anybody would really fall for that. Okay, we're getting this, right? We're good. We got a lot more people answering and a whole lot more right. All right, so I think you don't have a question at this point, you plural. Okay, so then I'm gonna tear on. So that was great. That was really great.
I have one question. It was like we were talking about before when you said so let's say
when
like,
you increment, yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. So let's say like the last digit is or like the first digit is a 1. So when it gets to it, does it become a 0 and then you add another 1?
Exactly.
So, okay.
Yeah, you can always imagine, and this is true in decimal as well, you can always imagine that there's an infinite number of zeros to the left of any number that you write. Right? Because there's, you know, there's 0 hundreds, 0 thousands, 0 10,000, there's 0 Googles, right? I mean just all the powers of 10 above that, there's 0 of them. And so you're really incrementing that 0 into a 1. Okay? Great. Okay, very good. All right, so, okay, keep your clickers out for a second. I want to try, you know, at the risk of another horrible failure. All right, I'm going to do group mind reading. This works. So there's 2 things that have to go right for this to work. First of all, we need to be on the same cosmic plane. No. First of all, you need to answer the following questions correctly. And second of all, I have to the code that I wrote to interpret your answers also has to run correctly. So we're really depending on all of us for this to work. So here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask a series of 5 questions. Each of the questions is going to have exactly this form. First of all, think of a number between 1 and 31. Feel free to write it down so you won't change the number halfway through the trick, and then the trick won't work. Okay, got a number between 1 and 31. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to show you 5 grids of numbers like this. Each grid has numbers on it from 1 to 31, but only 16. There's only 16 numbers in this grid. Your number is either in this list or it's not in this list. And what I'm going to do is ask you to click on, as always, B if it's in the list, meaning true or yes. A, if it's not on the list, meaning false or no. Okay? So, and I'll even remind you that that's what I'm doing. So, after these five questions, I will know what your number is. Okay?
If it works. If it doesn't, then maybe it didn't work for an interesting reason. So get ready to click. This is the first question of five. Here we go. Fabulous.
What? There's something funny going on. We do not have 51 people in this room. Does anybody know what just happened?
I think you keep clicking it.
It shouldn't make the count go up. We've done this test.
We try.
No.
There's no way this trick is going to work out. All right. It's possible. Well, we'll see what my analysis. Charles, do you have any brainstorms?
It's not resetting the counter.
It's not resetting the counter. So this is the sum of the previous two.
I don't know.
All right. We're going to stop this one at 57 and move on to the next question. Okay. Once again, find your number in the list. It does seem to reset, but then it just went way up above 30. Maybe it's getting a noisy reading on one of the back row clickers and it's reinterpreting what it, I don't know. I got nothing. We'll see what it comes out with. Okay, we can at least get past 25, right? Thank you. Alright. Are you having trouble finding your number in the list or did you forget which original number was? This will be 2, 3, 6, 7, 10, 11, 14. 15, 18, 19, 22, 23, 26, 27, 30, 31. Alright. I'm stopping the receiver. Moving on to the next thing in the list. Okay, once again, starting up. So this is question 3 of 5. Is your number in this list? There are websites that do this trick, but I had to write my own code because I wanted to do it on everybody at once. Okay, we're up to 25. I'm going to stop it at 30. Last licks in. All right. Okay, second to last one.
Find your number.
Right. Stop at 25. Okay, this should be the last one. It was according to plan.
Actually, I had this magic trick on little laminated cards when I was a kid, not knowing that it had anything to do with computer science.
All right, so that should be it, I think. Yes, okay, all right. All right, so now, in principle, I should be able to run my mind reading program. So I have a USB mind reading port that I've just plugged that right in. Okay, all right, so Meredith Duffy?
Yeah.
All right, you said your number was 3, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, but it said 7.
How do you know my number?
Because I heard you say it.
Oh.
All right, so we're 0 for 1. It's possible that there's a consistent error, in which case I'll just fix it and we'll try this again. All right, Richard Duperval? All right, what was your number? Can we just go with 20? Would that be all right with you?
So according to this, you clicked on A, A, B, A, B. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
All right, so Janelle?
Yes.
What was your number?
30.
30. And did you, do you think you clicked on the B, A, B, A, B?
Yes.
Does that sound right? Yeah? All right, so then, so if it's getting the right clicks, which is good. All right, so here's what I'm going to do, because you know debugging programs is a wonderful spectator sport. So let me explain the trick to you, and then you can help me fix the program so that I'll actually get the right answer. The first question that I asked, the first question that was up on the board, was, is your number in this list? And the numbers were all the odd numbers. It was 1 through 31, just the odds. Now, those are all the numbers that when you write them as a 5-bit binary number, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, would have a 1 in the last position. So the first thing you clicked on was whether the number you were thinking of, if written in binary, has a 1 in the rightmost position. So you told my program that. And so, for example, so Janelle was thinking of an odd number. So what was the number?
Wait.
Maybe I reversed it. No,
I think they reversed them.
Yours is symmetric.
Because my first answer should have been A, but no, right?
What was your number?
30.
So you should have said no.
I did. So maybe it's reversing that.
That's one possibility. It's hard to tell with yours because it actually is completely symmetrical. B, A, B, A, B, A, B, A, B. Like banana. You never know when to stop. A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N-A-N. All right, so Amy? Where's Amy? All right. So, what was your number?
Three.
Oh, really? And this was also 3. So you guys did not click on either. You didn't click the same pattern, or I didn't get them right. So I would have expected for you.
I remember it was on there the first 2 times.
Yes, exactly what it should have been. So it should have been B, B, and then all the rest A's.
What about the third one?
It was not on the third one.
What was the question?
Yours was B for the third question. So you said yes, but if your number was 3, 3 didn't appear on the third list. Because how do you write 3 in binary? It's 00011. 1 plus 2 is 3. So it should have been A, B, B. Though the order should be reversed. So it's B, B, A. We actually got B-B-B-A-A. Oh, it looks like maybe you just didn't get the last click. Maybe that's all that went wrong. If we just forget about this one and somehow figure out what else is missing, maybe it would have worked.
Let's redo it and write down
the rest. Yeah, you should be able to, yeah, it was just less of a magic trick. Of course, having it not work is even less of a magic trick. All right. So L609. I'm just going to give this a minute, and if it doesn't look happy. What's today? What day of the month is it? The 20th? Perfect. Oh, okay, all right, so another possibility is that the connection between the names and the clickers is wrong, because I'm outputting them as names. So Meredith, can you look on the back of your clicker and see if this is the number?
Yes.
00CA1ED4.
Yes.
Okay, all right. So it thinks you clicked on AAA. Yeah, oh, a lot of A's going all the way back. Maybe like the last question of the semester, I should say, you know, A, B, C, D, E, what grade would you like in the class? We have the right letters on the clicker, so it should all work out. All right, so that was, all right, so let me not debug this while you watch, because I learned when I was a teenager and I was just getting into all this computer stuff, my younger siblings were not as enthralled with it as I was, and so when I would bring them into my room, it's like, hey, watch this, and they'd watch me debug. Well, they didn't find that very entertaining. So I'm not going to do that for you guys. But do try it. Okay, what I'd like you to at least understand, though, is the essence of this trick. So let's do one real fast. Because it because it's getting at the connection between how do you translate between binary and decimal. So this is a web page that I found, and it goes, think of a number between 1 and 63. So this is a little bigger than ours. And we're gonna let's do one. Let's pick a number. So give me somebody who didn't have such a small number, like I don't know.
42.
50. What's that? 30? No, definitely not 32, that would be boring. 59, is that what I heard? 59? I like 59. All right, oh, it's on the list even. All right, so 59, we say yes to that. 59, we say, is it on this list?
No.
No. Is it on this one?
Yeah.
Yes. So let's, we got to write down the what we've said so far.
Yes, no, yeah.
Thanks. Yes, no, yes. All right, is it on this one?
Yes.
Wow. This is an exciting one. Yeah. Really? Okay, it's done. And look at that. See, this is how mine was supposed to work, too. They actually got our number. So, how did it do that? Let's go back and watch again. So, notice this list. The very first number on this list is 1. Okay, and we said that we were on this list. So we're going to give ourselves 1 point for that. All right, the next one, in the upper left corner is a 4, okay? And we did not, is it the same this time? Yeah. We did not give ourselves credit for that. This was 1, this was 4. All right, the next one, 59, had 32 at the top, and we were there, so we're going to give ourselves 32 points for that. You notice anything about the numbers that it's choosing? There was a 2. Are we on this list? 59? Yeah. So we give ourselves 2 for that one. Then the next one, 16. We were on that list too. So we give ourselves.
Where are you getting those numbers from?
These are the always the first number in the table.
Oh.
Now the question, the more interesting question is where did they get those numbers from? All right, and the last one was 8. All right, now, does anybody actually have a calculator? Can you fire up a calculator?
Yes, sir. What do you have to add?
1 plus 32 plus 2 plus 16 plus 8. Yes! Now, you're just saying that because...
No.
Oh, they really? Okay, good. That's good. Because there was a question mark at the end there, but 59. Right. So what the heck just happened here? What really happened is on each screen, these are all the numbers between 1 and 63 that have, if you wrote them in binary, would have the 8 place turned on. Okay? It's going to count as an 8. The number 59 in binary ought to be, going from right to left, 1, 1, 0, 1, 1, 1. Okay, so let's just check this, because now we're experts at going in this direction, binary to decimal. Let's just check this. This is 1 plus 2 plus, no 4s, plus 8 plus 16 plus 32. We've already done that. We know that the answer is 59. So this is 59 in decimal. Now, we haven't quite worked out how you go in that direction, but at the moment, more or less what's happening is you put a bit in a position if you're one of the numbers that has that bit on in that position. That's all we've learned from this little example. So that's not really very helpful. All right. So, but it turns out that this is the core idea of how you actually do the conversion. All right, so this is the procedure written out in words. But let's just go through it like so. All right, so I'm going to say this is what you do. Start off, you have the number 59. We want to write this in binary. The top bit is going to be the highest power of 2 that's less than or equal to the number we're trying to encode. So basically, what's that?
32.
That's awesome. All right, I thought I wasn't clear enough yet, but that is exactly right. We have a 32 in here.
So in the 32's place, there's going to be a 1. How much does that leave that we haven't accounted for yet? 27. Okay? So now we still have to encode, let me just move this down, sorry. We still have to encode 27. Does 27 have any 16's in it? In other words, is it bigger than 16? Yes. So we're going to have a 1 in the 16's place. What does that leave that we haven't accounted for yet? 11. All right, what's the next place? The 8th place. Do we have any 8's in there?
Yes.
We do. So we're going to put a 1 there. 11 minus 8 leaves us with 3. Are there any 4's in there? No. Are there any 2's in there? Yes. Are there any 1's in there? And now we're left with 1. Are there any 1's in there? Yes. And now we've exhausted the number. Now, right now, 1 minus 1 is 0. We have nothing left to encode. So this bit pattern is exactly 59, because 59 has in it a 32, a 16, an 8, 2, and a 1. Now, if that seemed complicated, I want to do a little exercise that is not complicated, because you do this all the time. All right, so let's say that we're at McDonald's and you just bought a, you know, McDelicious, and I need to give you change. I need to give you, let's say, 83 cents change, okay? You could go like this. You could say, oh, 83 cents, that's easy. That's 83 pennies. But that's not what we do, right? We try to keep it simple. We try to use as few of each coin as we can. So how do we do that? We start off with the 83 and we say, well, you know, there's no dollars, there's no $5, no $10. What's the first denomination that I need to start giving you back?
A quarter.
3/4 in this case. All right, so 3/4. And then what do we do from there? We subtract. We say, all right, we had 83 cents. We've already given back 75 cents. That's 8 cents left, is that right? All right, so what's the next denomination? Dimes. How many dimes do I give you back?
None.
Thank you. All right, so what's the next denomination? Nickels. How many nickels do I give you back?
One.
All right, and that, now we just took away 5 cents. We've got 3 cents left to give back. The only denomination we have left are pennies. I give you 3 pennies, and we're done. We've now written the number 83 cents in, you know, American coin number system, which turned out to actually be an okay number system, but it's not a great one. But do you see the procedure? Yeah, go ahead.
If it was 83, and we had to write it in binary.
Like, 83 in binary, it's the same game. It's exactly the same game. So we'll do it. 83 in binary. But use the same thought process as we go through. So 83. Now we've got coins now, but in binary, the only kind of coins we have are powers of 2. 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32, 64. I could give you 83 ones, but that's not what you would do. You want to give back the highest power of 2 that you can to give back the change. All right, so what's the first power of 2 that we can take out of this? 64, anything bigger? What's the next one up? 128, that would be too big. All right, so we can take a 64 out of here. All right, I'm going to finish this. It'll only take another minute. I'm going to, in the clicker questions to start next time, this is what I'm going to ask. So let's make sure we get this. All right, so 83, we took a 64 out. What does that leave us with? 19. All right, are there any 32s? No. Are there any 16s? Yes. Leaving us with 3. Any 8s?
Nope.
No. Any 4s?
No.
No. Any 2s? Yes. Any ones? Yes. That is 83 in binary. Boom. We're done. All right? The only thing that you might mess up, I think, when you do this, is you have to remember, once you put the first place value down, you're going to have to put a number down for each place value under that. So even though we had 19, you can't just then put in, oh, and that's 116. You have to put a 0 on the 32 first. Otherwise, you're going to just write 1111, which is not the right number. So 164, no 32, 116, no 8, no 4, a 2 and a 1, and we're there.
Yes, I should have done that this morning, but I was making octopuses talk. But I will get back to that. Yeah, it should be. Actually, I'll do it before I leave this room. I will email it to everybody.
Just registered for this class last week.
Okay, welcome.